If you can stand for the reading of God's word, I'm coming from Ezekiel chapter 1. If you're hungry for revival, make a little bit of noise right now. Come on. Okay, on a scale from 1 to 10, I'll give that a 6. I said, if you're hungry for revival, make a little bit of noise right now. All right, if you don't mind blasting your neighbor's hearing aid out, if you're hungry for revival, make a little bit of noise right now. I believe that this is a moment for us. God has been with me all week long speaking this word into my spirit. I blame Pastor Dawn for it because I was headed another direction and had written a whole nother message, and she got me all messed up this last Tuesday in Watchman Prayer, and I'm telling you, I got a download. If you're ready, somebody shout, bring it on. If you want to take your phone and invite people into this service, you can do that. But Ezekiel chapter 1, on July 31st of the 30th year, while I was in with the Judean exiles beside the Kabar River in Babylon, this was the Bible explanation, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. This happened during the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. The Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, the son of Buzi. It sounds like Buzzy, but it's really Buzi. A priest beside the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians, and he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. Look at what the New King James Version says. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Have you ever had the hand of the Lord be upon you? Even in hard times, can I get a witness? Verse 4, as I looked, I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was a fire inside the cloud, and in the middle of the cloud glowed something like gleaming amber. Verse 10, and each had a human face. He saw these In this vision, he saw this vision, and each had a human face. In the front, the face of the lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle on the back. Now look at verse 12. They went in whatever direction the Spirit chose. Wherever the Spirit said to go, that's where they went. And they move straight forward in any direction without turning around. Is there anybody here that's gonna go wherever the Spirit says go? And there ain't a chance you're gonna turn around. If that's you, let me hear from you right now. Sometimes it takes a difficult season and a hard place to birth revival. Sometimes we don't really see the Lord until we go through something. But there is something about the hard place that if the devil knew what the hard place could produce, he would probably leave you alone. Can I get a witness in this house? I came to deliver a prophetic word. I want to talk to you today about heaven in the hard place. How many of you believe that heaven can come right into your hard place? Come on, right into your most difficult season, right into your big problems, and it can invade your situation with heaven. Are you ready for it? All right, if you don't mind, slip up your hands. Father, I release your anointing in this house as I preach, God. Let me preach in your anointing. Let people receive in your anointing. God, we are awakening hunger. We are moving into revival. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord the ovation of praise. Give him a shout. Before you sit down, tell your neighbor, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. I want you to take note of this text here in Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm going to put out a buffet today, and then we're going to have a lot to eat. Did anybody come spiritually hungry today? God's been speaking to me. I want us to zero in, precious, on this entirety. You can read it. You can read the entire chapter when you get home. But in this moment, Ezekiel is in bondage, and life is hard. But verse 1 said, in the midst of all that he was facing, don't miss it, the heavens opened. Sometimes it takes hard places to give us fresh vision. And I'm talking today about heaven in the hard place. When Ezekiel penned these words, he is literally in one of the most hardest places imaginable. Now, Pastor Don messed me all up. I'd already written a message for this week and was feeling so good about it. And Tuesday at prayer, she pulls out Ezekiel chapter 1. In the middle of prayer, and we got a watchman prayer team that comes out here. We got hundreds of people that are praying, and that is the power of Calvary. Come on, somebody. But she said, what are you seeing in Ezekiel chapter 1? And I'm telling you, I was praying and preaching all at the same time. Now, this text is so powerful because when Pastor Dawn read it, she looked at the Hebrew dates and saw that this text was actually penned on our date, July 1st. It occurred this past Tuesday, and it was right in line with Watchman Prayer. This is the date when Ezekiel was called and carried into the presence of the Lord. And in this moment, he had an amazing and phenomenal vision. Now, that's July 1st, this last week. That's on our calendar, and it represents the halfway point. Tell somebody we're halfway there. It represents the halfway point of 2025. And God gave me an absolute prophetic download and supernatural direction for the next half of this year. And I believe that I'm going to tell us by the Holy Spirit what we need to get ready for in the next 6 months. I'm not going into this next 6 months blind or struggling or groping, but I want clarity, and I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. Anybody want to be led by the Spirit for the next 6 months? I'm ready to release some direction. Do you want it? The historical context of this chapter is very powerful and profound. It's intense, to say the least. Ezekiel here is a young man. He's 30 years old. He has the training of a priest, yet he's far from Jerusalem and far from the temple. In fact, he's in bondage, not fully realizing that his training had prepared him for where he was. In other words, he had what he needed before he ever got into the situation. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but somebody may be in less than stellar situations in your circumstances, and you're not seeing what you need to see. But I tell you, child of God, you have been equipped for this season, and you got what you need to overcome, and you had it before you ever got to it. Come on, somebody. But this young man with this priest training finds himself, along with all of the people from Judah, many of them in Babylon and in bondage. He's not in the temple that he's trained to serve in, but he's in a foreign land. He's under foreign rule. And this is where we dive into this message. The first thing I want to show you, precious, is this. The hand of grace has a long reach. It doesn't matter how far you may feel like you're away. It doesn't matter how far you feel like your children are away. I've come to tell you that the hand of grace has a long reach. Now, I want to zero in not just on the historical context of Ezekiel's life, but his situational context, his personal reality. Because when I read this story, it becomes more powerful to me when I humanize the characters. It becomes more powerful to me when I realize this is not just some story, this really happened. Because when I see them as people, I have the opportunity to see myself in that story. When I see them as people and not just some kind of contextual something that I'm reading, when I see them as people, I can see myself. And I know that if God met Ezekiel in a hard place, he can meet me in a hard place. If God gave David the power to kill a giant, God can give me the power to kill a giant. If God gave Daniel the power to survive the lion's den, then no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. It's very powerful then to me when I see this story and see myself in this story. In this amazing context, Ezekiel is in a rough situation. Have you ever been there? Some of you are probably there right now. Look straight ahead and act like I'm not talking to you. There's so much to see in this text. Not only is he in bondage, but the Bible said he is by the river Chebar, or Kabar, it's pronounced. The word Kabar is the Hebrew word kabar, meaning far off. So I want you to see this now, precious. He's in bondage, he's in captivity, and he's not just in any place. He's bound up in the far off place. He's bound up far off from Jerusalem, far off from the temple, so far removed from the holy place that he could hardly believe it. Not only is his situation bad, it's really bad. Nothing about his circumstances was good in the natural. He was in a mess, and everybody around him was in a mess. You ever had a season like that when not only are you jacked up, everybody around you is jacked up. Your whole family's got issues. Come on, somebody. And he's there in that moment. It seemed of himself that he could help nobody, and nobody could help him. He's bound up. He's in a far off place. But in this moment right here is where we see the staggering, relentless, stunning love and tenacity of the Father. In this very moment, he's bound, he's broken, and he's far off. But look what the text declared. And the hand of the Lord was on him there. You missed a real good place to give God a thank you. Don't miss this. Grace, the hand of grace, has a long reach. Their geography didn't cancel out God's glory. Where they were didn't stop God's power. What they were facing didn't hinder what God was able to do. That moment of bondage didn't change the fact that the deliverer is able to set them free. I stopped by to tell somebody today, I want you to understand that his hand is not location based, it's covenant based. Oh, some of y'all are already tracking with me. I said it's not location based, it's covenant based. How many of you are in covenant with the Lord? Okay, you say, what does that mean? That means if you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, if he has become your sacrifice, if Jesus is your Savior, you are in covenant with the Lord. And that covenant is not location-based. It doesn't just work in the church. It works at your business. It works at your house. And I need somebody right now, if you get this in your spirit, you're liable to snatch your neighbor's wig off and wave it like you're on the flag team. Come on, somebody, because you got to get down in your soul. I feel that I shouldn't have said that, but that somebody's going to have a comment about that. But I don't even care. I've got a praise inside of me that the location of where I am and what I'm going through does not change who God is, because I'm in covenant with the Savior. Here he is at the far off place. Here he is in bondage, but it did not change the fact that the hand of the Lord was on him there. See, that's some stuff right there that makes me thrilled, that God will stay with you even when you're in bondage, even when you're in a mess, even when you're in a far off place. Some of you, when you were saved, you were in a far off place. Some of you, God kept you even when you were losing your mind. You weren't in a prayer meeting. You weren't fasting, tithing, or giving. You weren't serving. You weren't in God's house. Some of us know what it is to be in a far off place. Some of us have been in bondage, and some of us have been in a mess. But I'm grateful to know that the hand of the Lord has a long reach. That grace has a long reach. I came to tell somebody right now, maybe your children are bound and broken. Maybe you're not seeing what you want to see. Maybe your child has told you, I don't believe in God and I don't believe it like you believe it. The devil is a liar. The same God that kept his hand on you is going to keep his hand on your daughter. He's going to keep his hand on your son. I just want somebody right now who understands that the hand of the Lord, grace has a long reach. Go ahead and give God praise like you're thankful for it. Oh, even in your struggle, even in your mess, his hand stayed on you because the hand of grace has a long reach. His hand can stay on you when you're struggling. His hand can stay on you even when you're acting crazy. His hand can stay on you even when you're in a pit of rebellion, even when you're swallowed up by your own pain, even when you feel like you're far off. And what I've come to understand in my own life, there's a guy in the room today that I went to elementary school with, played little league baseball with him. Come on. His name is Leroy. Everybody needs a Leroy in your life. Come on. And we were friends when we were just kids. And I'm telling you, there's been a lot of water under the bridge since I was in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. But I can tell you that God's hand remained on me. He kept me when I didn't want to be kept. Y'all, he kept me in his hand. He kept his hand on me. Some of you think that you made it just because of your own goodness or you navigated your way into this moment. But many of us know that we are only here because the Lord kept his hand on us, that the hand of grace stayed on us. And that's why you may not understand why Calvary is such a radically worshiping and radically praising place, but this house is full of people. Every campus is full of people. We're online now with people around the world, and we can't help ourselves but praise the Lord because we know the only reason that we are here is because his hand stayed on us there. Where is your there? There for somebody might be pornography. There for somebody might be an affair. There for somebody might be rebellion. There for somebody might be a broken season. There for somebody might be unforgiveness. There for somebody might be addiction. There for somebody might be brokenness. There for somebody might be woundedness. There for somebody might be that you were betrayed. But I've come to tell you today that you are a living witness, that the hand of grace has a long reach. So if you don't mind taking 10 seconds and giving God a praise that his hand stayed on you there. Oh, I said his hand stayed on you there. Oh, when that man walked out, his hand stayed on you there. When your heart was broken, his hand stayed on you there. Oh, I'm glad that his hand stayed on us there. Grace has a long reach. The hand of grace is on you right now. You ought to just wave your hand and say thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. But the second thing I want to show you is this, and not only am I preaching this, you could testify it. God's voice can even find you still, even in far off places. That it doesn't matter how far you got away, he didn't stop talking to you. Not only can his hand still reach you, his voice can still touch you. His voice can still find you. This is precious to me because I'm glad that God's voice found me. Some of y'all, Apostle, I found Jesus. I say, liar, liar, pants on fire. You didn't find Jesus. He was never lost. He found you. His voice can find you no matter how far off you get. Here he is, bound up at the river Kabar. He's in what is known as the far off place. But in the far off place, the word of the Lord, the Bible said in Ezekiel 1:3, came expressly to Ezekiel. Here he is. Get it now. He's in bondage. Here he is. He's far off. Here he is. He's messed up. Here he is. He's frustrated. He's 30 years old because he thought his life would be further in a different direction than it is now. He's frustrated with his vocation. He's frustrated with his location. It seems like everything is going wrong. But what does the Bible say? The Bible said the Lord, bring it up again. The voice of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel. Now look at that little word expressly there. That's a very powerful word. What it means is this: he came with the right word at the right moment. Expressly means this. It means to come with the right word at the right time. He came with a specific word that had a specific purpose. And I'll tell you, God is able to speak to you, young person, right where you are. He'll give you a right word at the right time. He didn't wait for Ezekiel to get back to the temple. He didn't wait for Ezekiel to get cleaned up. He didn't wait for Ezekiel to get close. He didn't wait for Ezekiel to leave bondage. He didn't wait for Ezekiel to get out of Babylon, but his hand was still on him and his voice still found him. He spoke to him when he was far from Jerusalem, far from holy places. And I got news for you. He was not in the temple. He was not in the holy place. But here's the news. God's voice will find you where religion left you. I hate to say it, I'm preaching better than you're letting on. When religion says you can't do it, when religion says you're not good enough, when denominationalism rejects you, when religion says you can't be a member of the good old boys club, when religion says you're not a part of my ministry, my denomination, my work, and therefore you can't be a part of the kingdom, the devil is a liar. Because where religion drops you, grace will pick you right up. I feel like preaching today. God's voice will find you where religion left you alone. I'm talking to somebody today in this room who feels like maybe you're in a far off place, far from where you want to be, far from where you thought you'd be in God or even where you used to be, far from the joy you once had, far from the marriage that you dreamed of, far from the vocation and job you wanted, far from your purpose. But let me preach to you, God still speaks expressly. In the far off places, God's voice will find you in a moment and give you the exact word you need. Now, I don't know where people are watching this from, but they're watching it from around the world and they listen to it in prison right out there at Tomoka. And I want to tell everybody, even if you're behind prison walls, even if you're in a jail cell, the fact that you're hearing this voice, my voice right now, should tell you that God is speaking expressly to you. I'm in somebody's home right now, and it's been hell in your house, but God is bringing you a right now word, and he's bringing it on time. I'm talking to somebody in the room right now, and maybe you're a little bit frustrated because you're not where you want to be, and you're not seeing what you want to see. I'm bringing an express word. I'm bringing a word to you that is right on time into your situation. He'll speak to you in behind prison walls. He'll speak to you in a mess. He'll speak to you in depression, addiction, rebellion. He'll speak to you when you're wounded. He'll speak to you when you're struggling. He'll speak to you when you failed. He'll speak to you when you ain't got it right. He'll speak to you no matter where you are. I got a word for somebody. You're gonna make it. I've got a word for somebody. You are a child of the King. I've got a word for somebody. Your family shall be saved. I got a word for this nation. Revival, 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 revival. If he ever gave you a word expressly, give him praise for it right now. Hallelujah. I'm trying to show you, young person, that heaven comes to the hard place, that the hand of the Lord was still on him, and the voice of the Lord could still reach him. And where is he at? He's in Babylon. Now, Babylon means confusion. That, if you transliterate, define the word Babylon, he's in confusion. And God kept his hand on him, even in confusion. God spoke to him, even in confusion. And somebody in the room has been in a season of confusion. I'm talking to people who are confused in their sexuality. Y'all don't make me preach. Confused in their knowledge of God. Confused in who they are in Jesus. But I break every spirit of confusion off of you. I break every agenda of hell off of you. Some of you been confused. Am I loved or am I not loved? Is God for me or is he against me? Does God have a plan or does he not have a plan? That is confusion. And I break it off of you. Yahweh Rapha can heal you. Yahweh Jireh can provide for you. Come on, Adonai can still open doors. Elohim can still create what you need. I break every spirit of confusion and I release clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. I've never seen a time when people are more confused. Preach, Jim Rayleigh. I'm not hating on you, but I'm just telling you we need to break the confusion. When I better be careful. But when the AMA says it's impossible to determine the identity of a child when it's born, that you have to wait for that child before that child can claim to be a male or a female. The devil is a liar. Can you imagine? All these thousands of years, we have known when a child is born, we've been able to tell what that child is. But now all of a sudden, we can't even tell. I'll tell you what we need. We need a revival of sanity. I'm not going to stay here but a minute because I got so much preaching to do. Can I tell you how you know if it's a boy or a girl? If it's got a stinger, it's a boy. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't helping me. If it don't have a stinger, it's a girl. Can I get a witness? That's the main way to know. I'm telling you, there is so much confusion in the earth, and we will not help the world until the church gets clarity. And I'm glad to know that God still speaks in confusion, that his hand is still full of grace. And I want to tell you, I don't care what you're struggling with. We love you. I don't care what you're bound by. We love you. And I want to tell you that God speaks right into messy seasons. Come on, somebody. If he's ever spoken your messy season and your confusing seasons, you ought to give him praise right now. So here's the third thing I want to show you. If life gets tough, be encouraged. Heaven can still open in the hardest places. So here he is in confusion. Here he is in the far off place. Here he is jacked up in bondage. But the Bible said that the heavens were opened and I saw visions from God. I want to praise the Lord that God can still open heaven over your life. I declare that in the mighty name of Jesus, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like right now, heaven can open over your life. Heaven can open over a hospital bed. Heaven can open at a graveside. Heaven can open at a halfway house. Heaven can open right in the middle of your wilderness. And somebody here right now, it's been hard. You've been in a season where you feel far off. Maybe I ain't preaching to everybody, but I'm going to mess around and preach to somebody. Maybe you've been in a time where it feels like you've been distant from the Lord and you're not seeing what you want to see. Maybe you feel bound up, but I've come to tell you today that heaven can still open up. I prophesy that in the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord is able to open heavens over our church, and he will do it not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. Even if you're jacked up, even if you're beat up from the feet up, messed up from the chest up, toe up from the... I knew I had some hood people in this church. Come on, somebody, even if you're confused, even if I'm broken, even if I'm not seeing what I'm going to see, what I thought I would see, heaven can still open. Now watch this. Ezekiel is the son, we're just going to call him Buzzy. He's the son of Buzzy. So where's he at? He's in bondage. He's by the river Kabar. That means he's far off. He's not seeing what he wants to see. And his daddy's name is Buzzy. And old Buzzy, Buzzy's name means this. When you define the name Buzzy, Buzzy's name means contempt. It means despised. It tells us a little bit about where Ezekiel came from. A lineage that dealt with being despised. A lineage that was held in contempt, and a lineage that was marked by the stain of bondage. But look what God did. Even though he didn't have the right lineage, even though he didn't have the right background, even though he was far off, even though he was in bondage, God opened the heavens, God called him, and God used him. I need to tell somebody, it doesn't matter what you used to be, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter where you came from, I need to let you know God's got a plan for your life. You ready? Raise up your hands. I came this morning to break every lie off of your life, telling you that where you came from, your past, anything you did or anything that's been done to you has disqualified you from walking underneath an open heaven. I tell you that your bloodline does not create boundaries for you. I declare that you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your past is not your prison. Your failure is not the last word. God can open the heavens over your life. You ought to praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your bloodline is not your boundary. It doesn't matter that your daddy wasn't right, you right. It doesn't matter that your mother wasn't right, you right. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and heaven can open over your whole family because you are in right relationship with God. I want somebody right now who don't mind praising him for an open heaven. Give him praise right now. I feel like dancing. Come on now. I said, I feel like giving God praise. Can I speak over you? What you were raised in doesn't define what you rise into. What you were raised in cannot limit you. What you were raised in, if your mom was jacked up, you don't have to be jacked up. If your family struggled, you don't have to struggle. I don't have to become a victim of what I was raised in. I am a child of the King, and heaven can open over my life. Okay, I'm gonna do something real radical. I know this is too much for some folk, but when you do this for a long time, you finally graduate from the university of I don't give a rip. Come on, somebody. I want everybody that is first generation Holy Ghost filled, first generation led by the Spirit. And your family wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, wasn't Pentecostal, but you are. And you're starting a new thing. Stand on your feet right now. Do you realize that heaven opened over your life? Now I want everybody in the room that knows that heaven has opened over your life, give God a praise right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. What you were raised in doesn't define what you rise into. He's in bondage. He's far off. He's messed up. He's got a bad past. Come on. And verse 4 says he's in a storm. Come on, have you ever had times when you said it's so bad, but at least it can't get no worse? I know that's not real correct English, but I ain't worried about it. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had times when you said, well, at least it's as bad as it's going to get? Y'all have heard me say this. You're in the mess and you say, man, everything is happening. It's all coming against me, but the kitchen sink, thank God it can't get no worse than this. And then you look and sure enough, there comes the sink. Come on, somebody. Here he is, he's in bondage and then he's in a storm. He's far away and he's in a storm. He's messed up and he's in a storm, but in the midst of it all, God's hand was still on him and God's voice still spoke to him. And God opened the heavens. Now this is what I am declaring over our church, and I'm declaring it over me, and I'm declaring it over you, but I want to get your voice of agreement. I want you to raise up your hands and I want you to declare it right now. Say, this is our open heaven season. Get your neighbor by the hand. Come on and look at your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, I wish you would praise the Lord with me. Come on, say, this is our open heaven season. Yeah, 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 yeah. God is going to open over my finances. Heaven is going to open over my future. Heaven is going to open over my mind. Heaven is going to open over my children. Heaven is going to open over my church. Heaven is going to open over my sick body. Heaven is going to open over my liver. Y'all don't make me preach. Heaven is going to open over my prostate. Heaven's going to open over my brain. Heaven's going to open over my children. Heaven's going to open over my sick body. Heaven's going to open over my future. Heaven's, yeah, this is it. This is the moment. This is the time. It is time for breakthrough. God, I declare in the next 6 months, remember, that's what it was. We are going to see an open heaven. Somebody give God a shout for an open heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah right here. Hallelujah throughout this church. Hallelujah in the stadium seating. Hallelujah at home. Open the heavens, Lord. Open the heavens, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You want to shout that again? Somebody shout hallelujah with that lady. Now, here we go. I'm going to jump. I'm going to climb up to the high dive. All right? We're going to jump off the high dive now. I remember when I went with my dad one time, and we would stay at this hotel that happened to have a high dive. Now, I was a fat little boy. Come on. There ain't nothing like a big fat boy on the high dive doing a belly flop. I thought I was diving, and I landed on my belly. Come on. So we're getting on the high dive. You ready for this? I'm trying to teach this, but y'all know me. I get carried away sometimes. But Ezekiel 1:2 says, it was the fifth year of Jehoiakim's captivity. I don't want you to miss this. It was the fifth year of Jehoiakim's captivity. It wasn't even Ezekiel's captivity. It wasn't even his fault. He was in bondage that he didn't even create. He was there because somebody else messed up. Y'all better. Have you ever been the victim of somebody else's mess? Have you ever been broken because of somebody else's issue? He's in bondage because of somebody else's disobedience, and it's not even his bondage. It's not even as defined as his bondage, but yet he's in that bondage because of somebody else's decisions. Okay, you ready for this? Here's the revelation. Refuse, number four, to wear borrowed chains. Okay, I'm gonna wait for that to hit your row. If you're not gonna wear anybody's borrowed chains, give God a praise right now. Yeah, yeah. I've made up in my mind, I am not going to wear borrowed chains. Just because somebody else is in bondage doesn't mean you have to be in bondage. Can I talk to you for a minute? This is your time and my time for freedom. Don't let somebody else's chains become your chains. Don't let somebody else's mess become your mess. Don't let somebody else's bondage become your bondage. No matter how much you love the people in your life, even your own family. I love my family, but I have made up in my mind, I'm not gonna wear borrowed chains. Tell everybody down your road, don't wear borrowed chains. Yeah, some of you been borrowing chains from your grandmother. Some of you been borrowing chains from your brother. But I break that off of you right now, and you will not wear borrowed chains of fear. You will not wear borrowed chains of addiction. You will not wear borrowed chains of indifference. You will not bear borrowed chains of anger. I break those chains in the mighty name of Jesus, and I decree and declare that is a brand new season of freedom. My God, if you're not gonna wear borrowed chains, you ought to give God a praise. Some of you have been borrowing the chains of a season that God has already broke off your life. You've been borrowing the chains of condemnation. You've been borrowing the chains of a season that God has destroyed. But today is a day that the chain breaker is in the house. If you're not going to wear a borrowed chains, give God a shout like you're free. Somebody just say this, I will not inherit their chains. Good God Almighty. You don't even know it, but somebody just prophesied. I will not inherit those chains. Generational curses stop here. Addiction stops here. Divorce stops here. Sexual sin stops here. Fear of failure stops here. Generational anger stops here. Generational brokenness stops here. If you're not going to inherit anybody's borrowed chains, are you choosing freedom? Anybody choosing freedom today? I speak freedom over your family. I declare that you don't inherit borrowed chains. Therefore, you don't pass them to the next generation. oh God, your grandchildren are not going to inherit borrowed change. Your children. Now somebody that believes it, give the Lord a shout of praise. I'm not going to borrow somebody else's chains. I'm not going to be bipolar. I'm not going to be swallowed up by depression. I'm not going to walk in fear. He that the Son sets free. Is free indeed. Tell everybody in your neighborhood, I choose freedom. I choose freedom. Yeah, this is your time to walk in freedom. So here he is. He's in bondage, y'all. Borrowed chains. Wave at me if you're not going to wear anybody's borrowed chains in your life. I'm not. I've made up in my mind. I'm not even going to wear my own chains. I'm not going to let the enemy just, you know, it was tough in 2021. It's going to be tough now. I'm breaking that. Oh, I fell back in 92. I'm breaking that. Come on. Some of y'all say, I failed in 73. Some of y'all old up in here. Come on. The hand of the Lord was on him. The voice of the Lord spoke to him. Okay. Heaven opened. He was so loved by the Lord that heaven came to the hard place. But here's what I want to tell you, number five. You got to let faith arise for the rest of this year. Don't, this whole message is your fault. It's all your fault. I had such a nice message prepared, but this one's better. Thank you, baby. This is prophetic. So sometimes you receive a nice little cute word, but sometimes you receive a prophetic word that shifts your next season. Who believes that this is a season-shifting word for you? Okay, we're halfway through. We got six more months left. So I declare, let faith arise the rest of this year. This was the timeline of Ezekiel. This is where he was. Now, he sees this vision of an entity. And the Bible says in verse 10, each had a human face. Okay, he sees this vision. And it has the face of a man in the front. It's a human in the front. It's the lion on the right side. It's the face of an ox on the left side. And it's the face of an eagle on the back. It's a human. It's a lion. It's an ox. And it's an eagle. Now, this vision didn't stop with open heavens. God spoke to him and gave Ezekiel a glimpse of something powerful. Four living creatures, each with different faces. These weren't random symbols. They represent powerful things in the Bible. Attributes that I believe in faith that God is putting inside you. Come on, all 33 of you that receive it. I said for everybody, God's putting those attributes inside you. When the heavens opened, he saw the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. So the first thing he saw was this, was the face of a man. That represents humanity and connection. The first face was the face of a man. It speaks to God's ability to meet us in our humanity. Yeah. Is when God spoke to Ezekiel, he didn't wait for him to become superhuman. He didn't wait for him to speak in tongues. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He came right to where he was. That means God understands you as a man and a woman. He understands your struggles. He understands your tears. He understands your questions. He's not threatened when you're going through things and you want to know, why am I facing what I'm facing? He knows the weight that you carry in life, and yet he still calls you because God is not afraid of your humanity. God is not afraid of your struggle. God is not afraid of your depression. Y'all, God is not afraid when you go through seasons of doubt and you say, God, this is not what I thought it would be. Do you think you can possibly scare off Jehovah? That would you need to understand what this tells me is that God will meet us right where we are. He'll meet you in the very moment that you are in. I declare that in this next season, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be available. I declare that God is ready to listen. He's ready to meet you right where you are. The face of a man tells us that even though we feel things, even though we go through things, even though we struggle, if we'll walk humbly and we'll live authentically, God will meet us right in our humanity. But the next thing I want you to see is that he saw the face of a lion. The face of the lion represents courage and victory. So I declare, number one, he's going to meet you in your humanity. He's going to come to you right where you are. He'll come to your broken seasons and in your broken places. He'll come to you in your fear. He'll come to you in your doubt. He'll come to you in your struggle. He'll come to you when all hell is breaking loose and you don't know why you're going through what you're going through. He'll meet you in your humanity. But I've come to tell you that there is also in this depiction the face of a lion. And a lion represents courage and victory. That's authority, y'all. That's power. And that's boldness. Let me make a declaration over you. The next half of this year, you're about to walk into situations that once scared you, and with courage and confidence in the Lord. I break every spirit of fear off of you. I break every spirit of anxiety off of you. I break every spirit of fear that tells you you can't do it. You're not good enough. I declare that you are going to have a holy boldness in the next 6 months. You're walking in the boldness of the lion of the tribe of Judah. If you're ready, give the Lord a shout right now. Can I say something? When the lion roars, the jungle listens. When the lion roars, the jungle listens. Not when the snake hisses, but when the lion roars. Not when the snake hisses, but when the lion roars. Somebody say, roar, Judah, roar. Let the lion of the tribe of Judah roar. He's about to roar in your family. He's about to roar in your church. He's about to roar in your bank account. He's about to roar over your mind. Somebody say, let the lion roar. I dare you right now, if you're ready for the lion to roar, give him a praise. Now when the lion roars, that means you got to roar. About a year and a half ago, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, tell the people, I'm going to roar when they roar. Watch this. Amos 3:3 says, will a lion cry out when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out in the den when he has taken nothing? I found out there are only two times when a lion roars. Number one, when he spots the prey that he wants. You study it. Lions will roar to strike fear into their prey. And that prey will run and flee into waiting lions. But that lion is not only roaring to let the prey know and to make the prey afraid. The lion is also roaring to let the jackals know and the hyenas know and the leopards know. That belongs to me. I don't have it yet, but roar. It's mine. I don't see it yet, but I think I'll roar. Roar. I don't possess it yet, but I'll go ahead and roar and let every leopard know, every hyena know, every jackal know. Every cheetah know, you better stay away from that. That's mine. roar. Sometimes you gotta roar to let everybody know I ain't got it yet, but I'm gonna get it. I don't see it yet, but I'm gonna see it. I don't possess it yet, but I'm gonna possess it. They ain't saved yet, but they are coming. The season ain't shifted yet. I want about 1,000 people. Open up your mouth and let a Holy Ghost roar. Let a praise come out. I know religious people can't do it, but go ahead and roar. That lion said, I ain't got it, but I'm gonna praise like it's already done. But the second thing that lion would do when he took down that prey, he would put his foot on that prey and he would roar just before he started eating. And he was saying, this is mine. I didn't have it before, but I got it now. And whatever I've taken, you can't have it. It belongs to me. I dare somebody right now, if you're ready to let hell know, there are some things that are untouchable in my life. There are things you can't have, devil. Open up your mouth and let the lion roar. Come on, Judah. Somebody lift up a praise. I said, lift up a praise. I gotta hurry. Then the third thing was the face of an ox. The ox represents strength and sacrifice. The ox ain't flashy, but he's faithful. What does the ox do? He's not the fastest, but he's the strongest. He keeps moving, and he keeps on plowing. He keeps moving, and he carries everything he needs to carry. I come to tell you, many of you are being called to carry weight in this season. How many of you felt the weight of this season? Wave at me right now. You've been called to carry spiritual weight, leadership weight, influential weight, family weight, faith weight, glory weight. And some of you have been wondering, am I going to be able to carry this weight? But I came to prophesy. Some people prophesy, but I came to prophesy to the children of the living God. Whatever weight he calls you to carry, you were built to carry that weight. I have what I need to carry what I need. This need we need to carry. Somebody ought to give God a praise. If you're ready to carry the weight that God has given you to carry, leadership, purpose, new season, new anointing, open up your mouth and give God a praise in here. You know what else the lion does, the ox does? The ox pulls the plow. Tell your neighbor, pull the plow. You may not know what you're doing all the time, but just pull the plow. And you know what happened? After he pulled the plow, increase followed him. I said, after he pulled the plow, they sowed the seed and increase followed him. I came to break the enemy's hold on your mind and tell that's telling you you can't be blessed. I make a declaration in the next 6 months, just keep pulling the plow. Increase is going to follow you. My God, if you're ready for increase to follow you, open up your mouth and give God a shout. Raise up your hands. I declare you will plow through dry ground. And like an ox who prepared the ground for the seed, increase follows you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now give God a shout. Somebody raise up both hands. Come on, raise up both hands and declare, this is my season of grace, glory, strength, and increase. I'm talking about the next 6 months. I'm talking about everything God has for you. Give God a shout of praise. Now come on, Judah. Give God a shout of praise in here. Finally, number four, the face of an eagle is vision and ascension. The eagle flies higher than any other bird. When the wind comes, he doesn't panic. He rises. Who's going to rise this year? I better ask. And I want some young people. Who's going to rise this year? Come on. Yeah, that's it, son. Who's going to rise this year? I want the people who are ready to rise. Open up your mouth. I've been in a storm, but I'm ready to rise. I've been in struggle, but I'm ready to rise. They've been attacking me, but I'm ready to rise. Oh, if you're ready to rise, give God a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody's going to fly higher in the next 6 months. I'm ready to soar. Wave at me if you're ready to soar with Apostle. And the eagle doesn't just have vision. I believe compared to us, he has microscopic vision. So here's what I declare. In this next season, you won't just see big things. You'll determine the details. Tell your neighbor, I see the details. Yeah, you'll see what others miss. You'll pick up on the devil's traps. You'll hear the voice of the Lord even when he whispers. You're going to see what you need to see. You're going to discern what you need to discern. This is not just a season of vision. This is a season of discernment. Somebody give God praise and I'm going to discern whatever I need to discern for my family, for my future, for my finances, for my ministry. God, somebody take 30 seconds and give God a praise. You'll rise above the gossip. You'll rise above the fear. You'll rise above the past. You'll rise above the anxiety. You'll rise above the struggle. And you'll discern what you need to discern. You'll see what you need to see. Now, I want somebody who don't mind lifting up Judah right now. Bring the Lord the most radical praise of the day. Come on, give him a shout. He's meeting you in your humanity. Come on, lion, roar. You're receiving courage. 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 Come on, ox, you can carry the weight. Come on, eagle, you can see what you need to see. Get your, I know some of y'all don't like this, but get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, I wish you would praise him. Say, come on, lion, praise him. Say, come on, ox, lift him up. Say, come on, eagle, give him glory. Come on, human, right now in your humanity, lift up the Lord for the next 6 months of power. Heaven's coming to the hard place. I said heaven's coming to the hard place. I said heaven is coming to the hard place. Tell everybody, heaven in the hard place. Yeah, I think I'll dance in the hard place. I think I'll shout in the hard place. I think I'll praise in the hard place. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm not borrowing anybody's chains. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Mama, I love you, but I'm not borrowing your chains. Hallelujah, heaven in the hard place. Huh. 1, 2, 3, shout unto God, shout unto God, shout unto God. Somebody's got to lose your mind, praise. Somebody's got to shout right now. Somebody's got, I need to dance a minute. I need to give God praise a minute. It's a new season in my life. There's a new anointing coming in my life. I'm gonna have the courage of a lion. I'm gonna have the strength of an ox. I'm gonna have the vision of an eagle. Give God, y'all wanna go to church? Y'all take this thing to church. Put the dance track on there if you got it. My God, give him a praise. Hallelujah. You ready? I give you glory. I give you praise. Did not triumph. I give you glory. I give you praise. Cause the enemy
did not triumph. Sing it. Yeah.
she was dying and the devil had a ball. The demons were rejoicing cause they thought they'd won the war. But soon they would not be laughing anymore. On that resurrection morning, the sun woke up the earth. The caverns of the deep, they opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in his wings. And now Calvary Church, rise and sing. Say, I
got a feeling.
Stage, raise your hands. Here's what the Lord says. No detours, no distractions, no delays. This next 6 months, heaven opens, even in the hard place. I break off of you secondhand chains. I break off of you wrong thinking. I decree and declare, you have, God meets you in your humanity. You have the courage of a lion. You can carry the weight of this new season like an ox, and you have vision like an eagle. In the name of Jesus, now say, I'm free. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. Oh, what a blessing.
You to raise your hands and then I'll release you. Say, I'm free.
I am free.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. Oh, what a blessing.
Sing it one last time. I feel that, Pastor John. Come on. This word broke something off of you. It broke something off of your mind. Come on.
Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound.
No more chains.
No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. Oh, what a blessing.
Look at me in the eyes. Who believes that maybe that word was from heaven today? Who believes that maybe it was? I was sitting in my living room last night, weeping, worshiping the Lord, knowing what God was going to do. So over the next 6 months, somebody say 6 months. That's the rest of this year. I declare over you that God's giving you the wisdom to lead, the courage to fight, the strength to serve, and the vision to soar. I break wrong thinking off of your life. I decree and declare you over you that when I look at Ezekiel was in bondage. He was far off. He was in a storm. He didn't have the right background, but the hand of the Lord touched him. The voice of the Lord reached him, and heaven still opened. Here's what I speak over you. Maybe everybody can't receive it, but somebody can. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your call. It's been hard. Heaven comes to the hard place. Some of you say, well, Apostle, how is it possible? I'm going to let you go, but if you miss this, you're going to miss the key to it all. I'm going to pray over you, but if you miss this, you're going to miss the key to it all. How am I going to do this? How am I going to have the courage to lead, the strength to carry, the vision to see? How am I going to be able to do it? Here's the key.